focus on the people, and that's inside and outside your office, and provide a really good level of service and an environment for your staff, the rest will follow.
Welcome to the Real Estate Pros Podcast, the weekly show for real people in the business of residential sales and property management. Ready to talk insights and inspiration with today's guest, here's your host, Josh Cobb.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Real Estate Pros. Thank you so much for joining me this week. I am your host, Josh Cobb, and this is the weekly show for people in the business of residential sales and property management, where we interview real estate pros and industry experts from all across Australia and around the world, getting to know them a little more personally and the stories behind their success to help you take your career to another level. And I'm excited about this week's show. I'm speaking with Susie Reed, the principal at Langan Simmons Double Bay Property Management. Susie is going to share with us her successes and failures in real estate, what it's like managing properties in one of Australia's most expensive suburbs, and we ask the question, is there a glass ceiling for women in real estate? But before we catch up with Susie, I have another discovery I'd like to share with you this week. So let's do that right now.
Today's show is brought to you by Real Estate Dynamics, the industry leaders in property management training, consulting, and rent roll and agency brokerage. Find them at realestatedynamics.com.au.
This week's discovery is for any of you who are recording video on your smartphone. If you're sending it out to clients or posting it on your website or social media, for example, it's an app called Movie Pro. So we stumbled across this app a little while ago when we started filming our weekly previews to the podcast or our digital marketing tips and social media tips, things like that. You can get a little more sophisticated than you otherwise could with the standard camera app inside your smartphone. So you can change things like the resolution, the frame rate, the video quality, the audio. It's even got a video stabilization feature. So if it's a little bit wobbly, it'll fix that up for you. It's just a really great app for really taking the video, your video marketing to another level. So I encourage you to go and have a look at that on the App Store. I believe it's $6.49 US to buy, so it isn't free, but it's certainly worthwhile having a look at if you are filming video on your phone and just looking for a way to really enhance that experience for anyone who's watching it on the other end. And you can publish these videos straight to YouTube, your Facebook account, straight from within the app. So go and have a look at that. It's called Movie Pro, and you can get it on the App Store. I'm not 100% sure whether you can get that on Android devices just yet, but you certainly can if you're using an iPhone. And with that, let's transition over to this week's featured guest. I'm excited to introduce our guest today, Susie Reed, the principal at Langan Simmons Double Bay Property Management. Susie has been associated with Langan Simmons for over 20 years and has overseen the growth of her business to become the acknowledged leading prestige property management office in the eastern suburbs of Sydney. As a licensed real estate agent specializing in residential and commercial properties, and with her wealth of knowledge, Susie ensures that the very best attention is given to every client's investment. Susie, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Josh. Good to be here.
Well, Susie, I've given our listeners just a brief overview, but take a minute. Tell us a little bit more about you personally, and then give us an overview of your business.
I had an interesting introduction to real estate because I came to it by way of a nursing career, which was, I think, probably about as diametrically opposed to real estate as you could possibly get. I think it's actually been quite a helpful thing for me, though, because nursing's about empathy and about caring. And I think what is lost in a lot of people who are in real estate is that they're too busily trying to focus on their careers and selling or leasing and not focused enough on the actual people content. So I think that was a helpful thing to me, but it was a huge change to my life when I made that career change. So I worked in one of the outer suburbs, well, in the eastern suburbs, but in Randwick for 9 years in real estate, and then came to Double Bay, which was just a world of difference. And when I went to work in Double Bay, I made a kind of a conscious decision. I was going to chase the top end of the market and to try and establish our office as a boutique leasing office so that we could sort of separate ourselves from the rest. When I started in Double Bay, there were, I think, 25 other agents actually in the suburb itself. Wow. And when you go, and then we have all the neighbouring suburbs that also have, you know, numerous real estate agents. So the competition's enormous because the fees that are generated due to the prices are high. And it was, for me, it was all about what I was going to do to actually set ourselves apart from the rest. And that's what I set out to do. And I think happily, successfully.
That's fantastic. So, well, I think if you look at the image of trusted professions that Roy Morgan Research put out every year, real estate agents are consistently ranked towards the bottom of that list in terms of the trusted professions. And nursing, as you said, diametrically opposed to that, is right up the top. It must have been a very interesting transition that you made when you finally got into real estate.
It's not a little scary.
Sure. Well, for our listeners who aren't familiar with where you work and live in that Double Bay area, can you describe the area for us, the type of property that you typically manage, and what the market has been like in more recent years?
Okay, so Double Bay is located in Sydney, and it's one of the more upmarket, expensive areas of Sydney. So it's located, it's one of the harbourside suburbs, and the area that we service is primarily that whole band of harbourside suburbs that stretches from Potts Point right around and through to Vaucluse and Watson's Bay. So that's the area that we service. We don't tend to step outside that unless we're dealing with expensive properties where the local agents, to be honest, often have the difficulty locating the clientele to actually lease them. So we also do quite a bit of work in suburbs like South Coogee. Bondi is not a core suburb for us, but we do a lot. We do quite a bit of expensive leasing there, not day-to-day properties.
So when you say expensive properties, Susie, help us understand what, in terms of, let's talk average rents. What sort of average rents would some of these properties be getting per week?
Well, a large number of our properties lease for in excess of $1,500 a week.
Wow.
Our average rental is, and I looked it up yesterday in honour of this interview, our average rent is just over $1,100 a week.
Wow.
And we do manage quite a number of cheaper properties as well. So that points to the fact that we've got also a significant number of properties that lease for $3,000-$5,000 a week.
I think it's a fascinating end of the market when it comes to property management, Susie. When you're managing property, you know, $1,500 a week or $2,000 a week or $3,000 a week, it must present its own challenges compared to managing property sort of $400 to $500 a week. For our listeners who are out there who may not, you know, manage a property portfolio the size that you do, and we won't divulge how many properties you manage, but it's safe to say it's a larger rent roll than usual. What sort of challenges come with managing a rent roll of that size with properties that are in that high-end market?
Well, I think the most important thing is that we all understand, those of us who work doing it, what an incredible privilege it is to be able to look after properties that are worth this much money.
Sure.
I mean, it's fun, it's exciting, and it makes going to work really something that does make you feel like you're doing something special. But what we do have to understand is that the clients that we're dealing with are, for the most part, high net worth individuals. They have powerful jobs, high requirements of us, and that's at both ends of the spectrum. So the tenants and the landlords both have big requirements. You know, when you think, if you're leasing a property for $4,000 or $5,000 a week, you're paying luxury hotel rates to rent it where you live every day. That you wake up. You wake up in a property that you're spending the same kind of money that you spend in a luxury hotel. So you bring those level of requirements to your relationship with us. And I think the really interesting thing is that you don't have, when you work in an office like mine, one set of requirements and one set of ways of dealing with clients if they are spending one amount of money, and a different set of requirements if you're dealing with them if they've got five times that amount of money. Everybody gets treated the same way. And so I think a lot of our clients at the not so expensive end of the market reap a huge benefit from dealing with us because our level of service is just that much higher than what you can, you know, what an average agency would provide. I mean, we have a huge staff to property ratio. Some of my competitors laugh at the number of staff I have working in our office, but we can provide service because I've got the staff to do, you know, to take the time to do it.
It's something else I think that happens in property management. Having spent 9 or 10 years in that space myself, when maintenance goes wrong in some of the more expensive properties, they can go wrong in a big way in terms of a cost and time, or you know, if there's something, if you know, for God forbid, something was to explode in, you know, in the plumbing, and the tenants had to move out or something like that, it can be quite an expensive fix in terms of maintenance and repairs. What sort of systems and processes do you have in place to look after that side of things? It must be a little bit different to how you would generally manage maintenance and repairs in a $400 to $500 a week property, yeah?
Look, I guess there are some differences, but you know what? There really shouldn't be. I think the real issue is that when you're managing $400 and $500 a week properties and you're trying to make a profit with a business, there is a limit to how many staff you can actually how you can divide your staff amongst the properties. So really what happens is if there's plant breakdown or something happens, if we have a burst hot water pipe, all of the multitude of things that happen in property management land, my staff jump in their car and go and sort it. We've got a really good band of tradespeople that work for us. I'm very loyal to my tradespeople, but I make it really clear to them that I need their loyalty back. So we give them a lot of business, so they need to look after us. And for the most part, the core group, they feel like they're part of our office. So they look after us, they give us good service, and I use high-quality tradespeople, and the owners know that I have these people working for me, and they trust us for the most part to use them. Some of our owners have a cache of tradespeople of their own, and we use those, and only those people may touch their properties.
Well, Susie, I'd just like to shift gears now and have a chat to you about an article that I found when I was researching for this interview in the REI NSW Journal, where you were asked, is there a proverbial glass ceiling for women in real estate? And I know that a lot of women would resonate with the response that you gave in the article. I've been lucky to have been surrounded by many inspiring women in my own real estate career, all who I admire greatly. Do you think there is a glass ceiling for women in real estate, Susie?
Oh, of course there is. it's glass, you know. It's not a concrete bunker, but there are definitely barriers that have to be not so much broken through, but there are differences. And, you know, I think if as a female you don't acknowledge that, then it's going to make things very difficult for you. I mean, I think real estate's an industry that it's a lot easier to get ahead in as a woman, but we need to understand that people bring attitudes to their, especially to their real estate transactions, where quite often, and I do this, I catch myself doing it myself, where when you're having a discussion with something that is of great financial importance, something that is a really big issue, you will sometimes look to the man to give you a lead. Now, so what happens is that you as a female, you have to inspire confidence so that people know that you know what you're doing. And that, for a lot of women, unfortunately means they just talk more than they need to. you have to have knowledge. Knowledge gives you the power that gives people confidence to be able to deal with you. And I think if you have that and you work hard, then the ceiling just goes away. But you do have to know what you're doing, and I think there are a lot of men out there who really don't know what they're doing that get ahead much more easily than women do. By virtue of the fact that they're male, and look, that's just the way the world is. Deal with it. You know, I completely support Julie Bishop, you know, when she sort of says, look, just get on with it. You know, it's just, it's not going to stop anybody that's going to actually work hard and educate themselves properly and go out there and do their business professionally. But you do have to accept that there are some differences.
Susie, what advice would you give to young women starting out in real estate today, whether it be sales or property management? Or what advice would you give to women who are in real estate, who have been working in the industry for quite some time, who want to take their career to another level?
Well, I'm a major fan of the world of property management. I have never had a desire at all to be a salesperson. I think there are absolutely two distinct personalities that are involved in these two different careers, and just somebody who's going to be a wonderful salesperson is probably not going to be a great property manager, and vice versa. I'm a detail oriented person. I like to, you know, I like to see a business grow. I like relationships, and I like those relationships to be ongoing. So for me to be able to actually take a core clientele and actually grow that, a lot of our business, well, in fact, our business has grown completely organically. It's all been through referral, and just our local presence. But in the sales world, every month you remake your business. In property management, you just gradually grow it. It's a wonderful thing to watch, and I get the most incredible amount of pleasure out of looking around at this environment and this business that I've created, with the help of my fantastic staff. But it's incredibly satisfying. And I look at the sales staff in my office who work very hard, and it's a very successful sales office, but they do constantly have to reinvent themselves each month with a whole new set of listings.
Well, the whiteboard gets wiped clean at the end of the month, doesn't it, with all of those results,
exactly right.
And they start again. Well, Susie, I want to now turn the spotlight onto moments of your career that have made you who you are today. And we often hear the 20,000-foot view of someone's success in the real estate industry. But here on the Real Estate Pros podcast, we want to take it down to that ground level of actual moments in time where you've either failed or succeeded in your journey as a real estate pro. Can you tell us a story, take us there with you, of a moment in your journey where you felt like you'd failed, possibly where you thought, hey, real estate really isn't for me? Tell us what happened and how it made you feel.
Oh, this is a difficult one, actually, because I don't think that I can actually tell you about a time where I ever really felt like giving up, where I felt that I'd failed. But there have been times when business has just felt like an endless slog, where all sorts of things can go wrong, things that you have no control over. I work very much as part of my team, and it matters a lot to me that I have a happy team and that it's all functioning well together. And you can have two or three people leave in a rush, which throws everything into a state of disarray.
Has that happened to you, Susie? Has that ever happened to you? And if so, what was that day like when, you know, for you as the leader of the business?
Well, for some reason, I had one holiday that I was actually going on where I actually got onto the plane. And when I actually stepped onto the plane, two people, I think as the wheels lost contact with the tarmac, two people sent me an email to resign. So I left.
Have a great holiday.
This is where I tell you that it's important to have wonderful staff that are left behind, because somebody who works for me coped brilliantly with that in my absence. But you just feel so personally let down by people that you care for. So that sort of thing is really difficult. And the other thing that happens from time to time, it happens in every real estate business, is that we try really hard to look after our clients. We really do work hard, and you can look after a property for years and years and think you've done everything really, really well. And then some small error gets made and it becomes a terminal error. In the owner's mind, that means you don't care, you didn't try hard enough, it's unforgivable, and out marches that property, which is kind of part of the family, to a competing agent that, you know, you can only hope is not going to do such a good job.
Well, yeah, exactly right. I think that's testament to something that a lot of property management businesses, great property management businesses, have in place is systems. And had you not had systems in place and obviously people to run the systems, that could have been a different story when you got home from that holiday, yeah?
Yeah. The other thing that I do when I travel now, though, is I travel with a laptop, and I, you know, as terrible as it may sound, I think the technology intruding into a holiday has actually assisted my life. I used to go away filled with fear as I rang the office every sort of two or three days just to check everything was all right. Mm. And now I open my laptop every morning and I spend an hour, maybe an hour and a half, just answering my emails, being in touch with everybody, knowing what's going on, and then I just get on with having a lovely day. It doesn't really intrude too much. And I think in that way technology has really assisted, you know, as far as getting away from work, as silly as that sounds.
No, no doubt. I completely agree. I recall back in March sitting on the banks of the bay in San Diego over in California at a conference and being able to tap into our systems back here at home in Brisbane, 14,000 kilometres away. I think it has made a lot easier, and the world is very, very flat and very, very small these days, and technology has assisted in, you know, that just keeping that peace of mind while you're away. It doesn't have to be consume your day, Susie, but I think being able to tap in from time to time into those systems and just make sure everything's okay is not such a bad thing.
Yeah, no, it helps you relax.
Absolutely.
Relaxing's good, Josh.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, let's take it to the other end of the spectrum. Can you tell us a story that sticks out in your mind of a moment where you felt like the formula that you had in place was the right way to go about growing a real estate business? And again, take us there with you, an actual moment that stands out. What happened? What was going through your mind? And how did that make you feel?
Okay. You know, for a long time, I actually believe if you say something often enough, it's actually going to become true. So, you know, big believer in self-fulfilling prophecies. So I would march about the world saying that we were the best prestige leasing agency that anybody would ever be lucky enough to find. And although I knew that we did a really wonderful job, I had competitors out there who I knew were also doing a good job. And I was never completely confident that we had a position that really put us ahead of them. I sort of saw us as being kind of all in there together. There was, when I first came to Double Bay, there was an agency which had, you know, complete domination of that executive leasing market. So, again, as the internet arrived, I remember those days, well, maybe you don't, when people said no one will ever buy a house on the internet and nobody will ever have anything to do with real estate on the internet. You need to walk through. So, you know, and I recognized pretty early that that was probably not going to be the case and that it would happen. So I have always spent big on the real estate portals to make sure that our presence is in front of people and that we are that it's clear to people that we are a big presence in the market. And then one day I can remember sitting in front of the computer and thinking, okay, I've really got to actually see just exactly where we're sort of sitting. So I started to really pay close attention to what my competition was doing, what price point they were kind of mainly dealing at, and it was just like a bolt of lightning. I thought, wow, we are way ahead of everybody else. We really have got the market domination that I wanted to have. And it happened without me really quite realizing that we'd stepped over a point. Now, I've got some very good competition and don't, you know, I certainly wouldn't want to say that I don't, sure. But we now have established a sort of a market share that really does show that we've got the domination in that portion of the market that I really have always wanted to be the dominant force in. And that was such an exciting moment, really. I mean, it's a silly thing, it's not a great big story, but it was a moment when I realized all those years of work, whoops, wait a minute, we've really done it. We're there. Now the scary part is to stay there.
Well, that's exactly right, Susie. You took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to say the hardest part about getting to first place is staying there. And knowing a little bit about your business and your approach to marketing and advertising, I think it's testament to the fact that you focused on just providing the best experience for your own clients and focused on building your business. And I think when you're focused on the competition, it means that you're focused on winning, which means that you're focused not on the customer and delivering the best experience for your own clients. So I think there's a really big lesson in there for other businesses who might be focusing a little bit too much on their competition, not so much on their own business.
Problem with focusing too much on the competition is you can end up with a siege mentality. Mm. So, you know, you've got to focus on doing your own job as well as you can possibly do it. And that should give you the result by itself without you having to actually – you have to know what your competition is doing. You know, I follow it very carefully, but I don't have a siege mentality, you know, and I never have.
Well, I think with, you know, any business, it's not just, you know, relative to real estate, but if you look at – I remember an interview with – I think it might have been Ian Thorpe or Grant Hackett, one of the big names in swimming anyway, Susie, and someone asked one of the guys just before an Olympic Games, look, you know, how do you like your chances? And he very much said, look, I've done the training. I've done everything I needed to do to get me right. But one thing I can't do is determine how well the other guys are going to swim as well. You know, I can only do my best and focus on what I'm doing. So I think that in itself is a lesson in any business, not just in real estate. Susie, take us to today. What are you guys working on there at Lang & Simmons Double Bay Property Management that's fresh and new and exciting?
I think the most important, well, the most exciting / terrifying thing about the world today is technology and how quickly it's moving. I'm very happy to be in the place that I am now as far as our market share and the success of our business, and I'm equally aware that it could all change in a heartbeat. You have to be constantly trying to not so much reinvent yourself but refine yourself, and you at the moment my big challenge is, and you would know about this because I've come to speak to you about it, sure, as well, social media. Mm. So trying to find the right way of harnessing social media to work within our business, mm, without actually becoming obsessed by it. I mean, one of the things that we have as a problem within our business is that we're part of a large franchise organization. So we're trying to project an image of being a boutique, prestige leasing agency. Mm-hmm. All our competition are leasing only offices, or our big competition. So the people who have the market share closest to us, yeah, have offices that focus completely on leasing, and they are seen to be specialists, mm, in the leasing world. Mm. Now we have to actually step we have to work a bit harder to actually establish that, because the sales part of our office is incredibly successful as well. Mm. And people who don't know just see us as being part of that great big whole. So we're just the leasing – we have to be careful that we never just seem to be the leasing department of Lang & Simmons Double Bay Sales. Mm. So that's a big – It's tricky for us.
On the social media side, I know we've spoken about it at that length, Susie, but is there anything that you guys have been working on lately in the digital space that you're getting excited about? I know you've got a great website, and that's something that you've constantly been working towards. Is there anything else that you guys have been working on lately?
Well, I think the website's a classic example here. You know, we designed a website which took us quite a long time to do, to get it the way we wanted it to be. And in my opinion, it really is already ready for some serious work to upgrade it again. Mm. And that's because there are things that have happened that are available and that other agents are using that we're not, mm, you know. So we definitely need to enhance our website so it's got some more bells and whistles. Mm. As far as social media is concerned, I have to be honest and say that it is still very much the whole digital platform is very much a work in progress for me. But there is a lot happening in our office in this regard at the very initial stages. I'm dealing with some different people on it, and there is no doubt that within the next 6 months we have to be doing more than we're doing now.
Sure.
Which frankly won't be hard, Josh, because we're not doing very much at all at the moment.
No, look, I think it's something that, having sat down with you, Susie, something that I admire about your approach to that side of things especially is your measured approach and not jumping into something unless you know really why you're doing it. And I think that's a mistake that a lot of businesses make, is they jump into things like social media or just building a website because they think they need one, or they think they need to be on social media or Facebook. And really they get through a period of time where they say, well, look, this isn't working. It's a waste of time. And I recall us sitting down in your office a little while ago, and you said to us that, look, we want to be involved in social media. How can we be involved? And you might recall we said, well, look, maybe it's not right for you right now because your audience isn't there. We identified that possibly that your clients and prospects maybe aren't hanging out on social media, so we maybe need to do a bit more research on as to why you want to really be on social. So I think it's a real great thing that you're doing, your measured approach to marketing and digital. That is really going to serve you down the track.
I'd like my approach to be a little perhaps more measured when I actually talk about the amount of money that I have to spend on the real estate portals.
Yes, yeah.
This is one thing that I think is a real challenge for a property management office, because that the concept of vendor paid advertising, which exists in sales, yes, is a complete anathema to property management if you want to have good exposure, because I believe our properties are of such caliber that they must be at the top of the suburb. Mm. They have to be in an enhanced size. Mm. And I spend an enormous amount of money subsidizing advertising so that I actually ensure that our properties are placed there. I mean, we charge our clients for internet advertising, but we do not even recover half of what the actual expenditure is. And that's a real balancing act too.
Well, something that I say quite a bit in the presentations that I do, Susie, is that so many businesses focus on the R when it comes to ROI, but nowhere near enough businesses focus on the I. Like we said, the hardest part about being number one is staying there. So I think your focus on the investment in that is going to pay dividends for you in the long run.
Yeah, I think it also that also applies to staff. So
absolutely.
Too many offices run their property management businesses with insufficient staff to do the job properly.
Yes.
And then they wonder why mistakes are made. Mm. People have to have the equipment to do their job properly, and they have to have the time to do it properly. And if you are too pushed, you simply can't do it. You can't get to everything. Corners get cut and clients are unhappy, you know. So pay good money to have good staff and have enough staff so that they can actually have the time to do their job properly.
Well, Susie, thanks so much for your input so far. We're about to hit the fast five, where I'll ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. But before we do, let's hear our fast fact of the week. This week's fast fact comes from our real estate industry social media survey, where we interviewed real estate professionals from all around the country to find out how they're using social media to market their business. We found that 84% of the respondents are using email to market their business, and 85% are using social media. But only 34% are running offline events, such as investor evenings or community forums. I think it's important to consider how much emphasis you're putting into digital marketing, and if there's an opportunity for you to conduct offline events, which is a channel your competitors are most likely not using to market their business. I'm keen to hear what's working for you. Drop me a line via our website, Facebook, or Twitter. Well, Susie, we've reached one of my favourite parts of the show, where I'll ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Name one person who has been an inspiration to you throughout your career and why.
Josh, this is going to sound really hokey, and I'm going to say to you, my father. And for two reasons. First of all, I grew up in the world where there were not the world of mentors and inspirational people kind of weren't in front of us so much when I was kind of establishing myself. But my father, I come from a family that has very, very little money. My father gave up an awful lot to actually see me educated at a boarding school in Sydney, and he really wanted me to be successful. It was my parents, but my mother's no longer alive. And it really keeps me focused that I want him to see me as being successful, not just financially, but as a person, so that he can see that all that he gave up for the sake of me is actually worthwhile. So, you know, it's hokey, but it's true. He's my inspiration.
What is your favorite thing in the world to do when you're not at the office?
Traveling, but a kind of a specific sort of traveling. I work really hard. So my way of rebooting myself is to do some sort of serious exercise. So, you know, the sort of thing that at the end of the day you fall into bed and, you know, exhausted and you feel like you've achieved something. So I've made my Aussie pilgrimage to Kokoda. I've done some wow. big alpine hiking and long distance cycling. But let me tell you, at the end of it all, a big deck chair always.
Susie, what is your favorite business book that you've ever read and why?
All my staff know I'm going to say this. Brian Tracy's Eat That Frog.
Yes.
It's such, you know, it is the world of property management in a nutshell, that book, because it's a hard job, you know, and it's got bits to it that are really, I don't want to do that. And so, I would recommend that to anybody who's working in the world of property management, you know. And for people who don't know what that's all about, it's just about doing the hardest thing you've got to do in the day. Do it first, get it out of the way. So out from this book, there are two rules of frog eating. If you have to eat two frogs, eat the ugliest one first. And the second rule of frog eating, if you have to eat a live frog at all, doesn't pay to sit and look at it for very long. You know, apply that to a day in an office, and it's so true. So often I don't do it, and I put off doing something that I'm dreading, and there's this lovely feeling when you've got it out of the way. Do the hard stuff early.
I love that.
The whole book is it's just about getting things done and not procrastinating, and I'm a shocking procrastinator, so I can just about recite that book for you.
Fantastic. Susie, what is your favorite technology or online resource that you use daily to help you run a better business?
We discovered about probably a year ago now, computerized booking of inspections, so inspect real estate. Mm-hmm. It's a fabulous system. We always have a lot of properties available for lease. So my leasing consultants used to spend their lives driving around in their cars, plugged into their phones, important part, fielding calls from people who just wanted to make appointments for inspections. So now what happens is these inspections get booked online. They don't have to take those calls. The people who call want to know specific things about the property that they can't glean from the ad. So the communication on the phone is much more meaningful. And on top of it, we have all our telephone numbers for tenants, and it gives us quality information on the source and the number of inquiries and inspections that we've done. So I think that's probably we've brought a lot of technology into our office in the last year, but that's probably been one of the high points.
Susie, it's often said that the success of a real estate business is measured by how many properties they sell or how many properties they manage. If you had to choose one thing that prevents people in real estate from achieving success, however they'd like to measure it, what would it be, and what would your advice be to overcome it?
Oh, I think that's easy. It's about being too focused on the numbers and not focused enough on the people and the quality of the service that you're offering. Because if you focus on the people, and that's inside and outside your office, and provide a really good level of service and an environment for your staff that's a good one, then the rest will follow, you know. But there are too many people sitting with graphs and charts and KPIs and holding these numbers over their staff's head, and they forget what it's really all about. We're supposed to be looking after people in their homes and having them happy. Do that, the rest will just follow.
Well, Susie, I have one last question for you to leave our listeners with some motivation for the week ahead. What's your favorite success quote, and how do you think people in real estate can relate to it?
Okay, well, I stole this from John McGrath, but it's okay, because he stole it from Gandhi. I heard him say this at a breakfast meeting that I went to years ago, and I thought it was a kind of an interesting thing at the time. It wasn't as punchy as I thought John would come out with. It was, be truthful, gentle, and fearless. And you know what? That's the essence of it, really, isn't it? I mean, you mentioned at the start of this podcast that we have such a shocking image in the general community, and it's because we don't have good ethics. You know, we're not honest. Our ethics and our integrity, they are our big strength. That's your big strength as an operator in this industry. So, you know, it's not so hard to tell the truth. It just embarrasses me that people think that as real estate agents we're so terrible. So, you know, have some ethics, be honest. And on the gentle front, what's wrong with being gentle? You know, we don't have to push people around. Help them make a decision. Help somebody decide whether they're going to lease that property or this one. Hold a property owner's hand while they actually lease what is their home to somebody new that's going to move into it and live in it like it's their home. These are tricky times. Listen to what people say and be gentle and appreciative of what they're actually saying to you. And this applies to the people that you work with. And the last part of it's fearless, you know, and I think you do have to be fearless. You don't have to be aggressive with it, but you do have to, and you have to be fearless. And the way you can be fearless is to know what you're doing. If you know what you're doing, you don't have to be afraid of anything. So get yourself educated, build some knowledge so that you can actually take your knowledge into the battle for business. No more than your competition knows. And again, the rest will just happen.
Well, listeners, you can find all of the resources that Susie has kindly shared with us today, along with all of the show notes, by visiting our website at steps.com.au/Susie Reed. Well, Susie, on behalf of our listeners, I'd like to thank you for your time, knowledge and advice today. I know that people will resonate with the content you've shared. How can people get in touch with you or find out more about your business?
Oh, I'm happy for anybody to actually, you know, they can call me at Lang & Simmons Double Bay Property Management, or I'm also happy to be contacted by email, sreed@lsdbpm.com.au.
Susie, thank you so much.
Thanks, Josh. Pleasure to talk to you.
Well, that's it for this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you do enjoy the Real Estate Pros podcast, we love reviews to help us get found. So please head over to iTunes and leave us a review. And whether you did or you didn't enjoy the show, we'd love to hear from you about how we can improve, because at the end of the day, the show has all started to help you, the real estate pro. Until next time, I'm Josh Cobb. I hope you have a great week ahead, and I look forward to having you join us again next week. Bye for now.